It reads like this on Facebook from the Eau Claire PD. The suspect entered the victim's backyard, licked their fingers, and made a clean getaway with a 12-pound smoked deliciousness of meat.
Looked like he took a little sample, too. Just a little.
Tested it. Oh, hey, wow. I would. I mean, if I'm going to steal 12 pounds of someone's brisket, I got to make sure it's good brisket.
That's good brisket.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:12 on this Wednesday morning, they are now coming for the school board.
It is time to clean house, start fresh, and get back to what we're here to do, which is educate our children and build a community that we are proud to be a part of.
That is a nurse who works in Milwaukee Public Schools, Sarah Gruttner, talking with TMJ4 News. The superintendent is out, resigned early Tuesday morning over this potential collapse in funding for the state's largest school district. You also have Tamika Johnson. She's an outspoken community member who has testified at school board meetings to our leading efforts to recall some members of the MPS board.
It does not all fall on Keith Posey. He should not be the face of MPS failure. The school board should be. A recall is most definitely necessary for the children.
All of this in the wake of the financial crisis that really came into focus only the last couple of weeks. The potential loss of federal funding for the Head Start program and now state funding in jeopardy because the district has failed for months to get required financial reports to the State Department of Public Instruction. School board's planning a news conference this afternoon, 4 p.m. And they better take questions. This better not be a statement being read.
Okay, what's your first question?
Right, and you know, you've seen them running for the cars, right?
Oh, yeah, we've seen that before. What's your first question you're asking?
First question, if I'm at that news conference at WTMJ, we'll have a reporter there. Why are these reports missing? Why have they not been filed? Is it truly that things were so dysfunctional at the administrative level within Milwaukee Public Schools that this was forgotten or people aren't doing their jobs? This is a regular matter, of course, for every school district in the state. You file these reports with DPI. Yeah. And they're 8 months behind.
Is it incompetence?
Yes. Is it incompetence or was the math not adding up? Is there money missing or are things not being connected? Like, where is there some other reason that not you forgot to or not you couldn't, but that you didn't want to tell DPI what your financials were? That's first question. Are we off and running?
Yeah, what's your second question?
Is that a good one? It depends on, my second question depends on the answer to the first.
I understand.
Right. So perhaps an answer to that question forthcoming today. 6:14, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
So the good news.
Yes, please.
Boy, those pitchers. Keeping the Phillies at bay.
That is true.
The bad news, the offense didn't make the trip. Brewers offense muster one run on a fielder's choice as they fall to the Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings. Nick Castellanos walked it off for Philly. Phillies, one of the best teams in the league. So the fact that the Brewers are keeping them from scoring, that is a moral victory. They use Jared Koenig again to start the game. Before moving to a normal starter, Colin Ray started in the second inning there.
So we went with a show opener for an inning.
Yep, right? Inning in a third, something like that. Skipper Pat Murphy, now he explained this to us yesterday on Wisconsin's Morning News, exactly what this is and why he's doing this. Check this out.
It gives the normal starting pitcher an opportunity to pitch the same amount of time, but not have to face the tougher part of the order as much. So, for instance, Bryce Wilson usually goes 5 or 6 innings, which is somewhere around 18 hitters, let's say. So now we take away one Harper at bat, one Schwarber at bat, because we use the lefty against them. So Wilson doesn't have to face them. Out of his 18, he doesn't have to face them 3 times. You got it?
I love that finish. You got it?
It does make sense. In this case, it was Colin Ray, and Ray pitched well. 4 innings, 4 hits, no runs. It wasn't until the 8th when Elvis Peguero gave up a solo shot to Alex Baum that tied the game. Just wasn't meant to be. So day baseball today as the crew try to avoid the sweep. 3 p.m. first pitch. Of course, we always have the pregame.
Got it?
Yeah, we got it at 2:30 right here on WDTMJ Radio.
Green Bay Packers off today, then back at it tomorrow for one final day of these OTAs. Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Remember, His second year as a starter, yes, but fifth season with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. And he and head coach Matt LaFleur growing their relationship.
I think me and Matt have a much better feel for each other. I have a better feel of what Matt's seeing and why he's calling plays, what he likes certain plays versus. So I think that relationship is just building. It's just getting better and better. But Matt's awesome. You know, everybody loves and respects Matt.
I don't know what that means.
No, he didn't. He knows what that means. Everybody loves each other. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. OTAs wrap up tomorrow. The mandatory minicamp coming up next week. And the Milwaukee Admirals are up against it now. Must win Thursday night. They continue their Western Conference Finals series. Lost 5-2 Tuesday night to Coachella Valley. The Firebirds now up 3-0 in the series. Where they scored like inside a minute, right?
Like, yeah, like 28
puck
seconds,
dropped,
30
they threw
seconds.
It in the net and the energy went out of that building,
yeah,
in a hurry.
Real quick.
Puck drops Thursday night at 7 p.m. UWM Panther Arena. So did somebody find a finger or not? A disturbing claim from the family of Shondae Robinson regarding the investigation into her murder and dismemberment, and a counterclaim from authorities investigating the case. Where is this claim coming from? We told you this week, family of the 19-year-old filed a wrongful death civil lawsuit against the man who's currently being held accused of the crime. Shondae missing for days later, her body parts discovered on the shores of Lake Michigan in Milwaukee County, even possibly in Illinois, and at other parts around the city of Milwaukee. Maxwell Anderson, with whom she's apparently had gone on one date with, arrested, charged, being held on $5 million bond. That's the criminal case. The family now in a separate civil action seeking damages.
Very traumatic. It's emotionally daily dealing with trauma, me and my daughter.
And Shondae's mother, Sheena Scarborough, the family attorney, says she is struggling.
But at this point, right now, her child is being led by everyone but her. The DA's office is leading part of the story. The news is leading part of the story. She wants some control back. She wants some peace back. She wants to be able to say that this is who my child was.
It's family attorney Verona Swenigan in a news conference announcing the suit this week. Says despite the filing, they are still focused on getting a conviction for Anderson.
I want the criminal case to move along further than where it is. Before I do that, I don't want to take any actions that may disrupt that process. And I believe that process should resolve before this civil case even resolves.
But you're hearing something in some of the language that we're hearing from Shondae's family and from the attorney about wanting to control the narrative.
Yeah, it seems like it a little bit. Is it? I keep wondering if we're going to learn more about what was going on here, what the relationship could have been. Because it seems like they're trying to get in front of it in case, I don't know, I don't even want to speculate on how the story could change, but...
You hear her continue to talk about, like, we're not telling the story. I want to tell the story of my daughter,
right,
who she was.
Right.
And these other entities are telling that story. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think there's more to learn about.
Definitely,
there.
Yeah. There's something else going on, and you'd believe.
So back to the question over the finger, though. The lawsuit alleges, so this is a 30-page lawsuit that was filed, civil suit, that a finger belonging to Shondae Robinson was discovered on the property of Maxwell Anderson's home. Remember, there's nothing in the criminal complaint about any body parts, even any DNA evidence of Shondae Robinson being discovered at the home.
There's a lot of rumors that were speculating about, yes, what was happening in that house.
The family, critical of law enforcement, believing they released the crime scene too quickly. The home has even since been sold, yeah, already, and they're questioning whether authorities have been diligent enough in their search for evidence. In fairness, I've asked that question. Why was the family and friends out there searching the beach at Warnemont Park and calling a discovery of potential, yeah, evidence?
Why are they doing this?
Yeah, shouldn't there have been a more robust, right, search led by law enforcement? Not saying there should have been, but I think it's a fair question to ask. But how about this? The family saying this finger was discovered after the house was sold. Authorities absolutely deny that's the case. Statement from the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. We're aware of the claim in the civil lawsuit filed by the murdered Milwaukee woman's family being reported by news outlets that a victim's finger was discovered at the suspect home during the investigation. While MCSO empathizes with loved ones of the victim, whom investigators believe was killed, et cetera, we dispute that claim. At no point during the ongoing investigation into Robinson's death has a finger or any body part been discovered by MCSO. It's the Sheriff's Office or the Milwaukee Police Department or any involved law enforcement agency at Anderson's home or on his property. Nor have any reports been filed by any private citizen with the Sheriff's Office or any other involved law enforcement office about the discovery of a finger or body parts. No claims have been made by private citizens that body parts have been discovered. It goes on and they go through all of those things. We got no evidence that this ever happened. not our investigators, and no one's brought it up to us. So did they just make it up? Why is that in there?
Were they misled? Was it something else?
Something they heard? We don't know. There is a hearing scheduled in the criminal case this morning, so we'll be monitoring to see if anything more comes of this.
In out of this world mystery, questions now about what fell from the sky recently over North Carolina. Unidentified of sorts, falling object that appear to be coming from space. So this happened in North Carolina, fell from the sky, hit this guy's house.
We heard a thump on the roof right above me, and I came outside to see what might have hit. I looked out in the yard and saw this piece laying in the yard.
It's like a 15-inch chunk of metal in Carmen just hit the house. Mike Wooten there, he thought a bird flew into his home. You can see pictures of it. It kind of almost looks like a dead rat of some kind.
But it looks like a hunk of metal, right?
Yeah, it's a hunk of metal.
Obviously something human-made. It's not a meteorite.
This has happened before, and it could happen again.
Space junk has crashed to Earth recently. In March, debris crashed through a home in Naples, Florida, tearing through the roof and two floors, causing $15,000 in damage and nearly hitting the owner's son. NASA confirmed the cylindrical object was part of a cargo pallet for the space station. The U.S. is tracking an estimated 45,000 objects in orbit.
45,000 objects. That includes nearly 19,000 pieces of space debris. Now, most of it would burn up.
Yeah.
But obviously, some pieces can get through.
It's a pretty big chunk, though, if that much of it is left that didn't burn up on reentry.
I mean, it just looks like a giant hairy football.
I'm sure he's asking the question, but like, so who's responsible for this? Like,
right.
Who's paying for this?
Yeah. Insurance going to take that claim?
Right.
That came from space?
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. The video you have to see. You're going to want to text the word watch to 855-616-1620 because there is a visual element to this story. A thief caught in the act, and they're looking for him right now, outstate Wisconsin. That story next.
Vince, have you ever smoked a brisket?
Man, I love to taste it, but I don't have the patience for it. And like, you got to read a book and figure out what you're doing there. Right?
Yeah, for hours.
You smoke those. Buddies who do that. Oh, yeah. I was in there for 14 hours.
Yeah. It smells fantastic.
It sure does.
Well, a family on the north side of Eau Claire was smoking a brisket overnight this past week. Come out to the smoker the next morning.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Lift it up. The meat is not there.
Gone.
The brisket is gone. So they checked their Ring camera because that's what they had, and they found out that someone had Pink Panthered their way into the yard. They have video of it. Guy walking in there, you can hear him kind of, he lifts it up.
Okay, he lifts up the lid.
Actually licks his fingers and starts walking through, starts picking it up, starts figuring out how he's going to get that out of there. You can see this guy plain as day as he's sneakily walking in there, stealing the meat. It reads like this on Facebook from the Eau Claire PD. The suspect entered the victim's backyard, licked their fingers, and made a clean getaway with a 12-pound smoked deliciousness of meat.
Looked like he took a little sample, too. Just a little
tested it. Oh, hey, I would. I mean, if I'm going to steal 12 pounds of someone's brisket, I got to make sure it's good brisket.
That's good brisket.
So now they've posted this, and you know me, usually sometimes in these surveillance videos, you can't tell who this person is.
Right.
I feel like if this was my neighbor or my buddy or someone, like someone knows, you can tell who this guy is, right? Like you'd think that someone could out him.
Somebody knows, right? I mean, obviously the homeowners
don't. Someone enjoyed the brisket.
Right. They wouldn't have put it on police Facebook.
I so hope they catch this guy.
I just love the randomness of it. What did he just? He has a backpack on, so it appears like maybe he was walking by and smelling.
Yes.
What smells good? This is now mine. And I love he closed the gate on the way out.
Yeah, yeah. Shut the smoker, close the gate, and sneaks on out of there. If you would like to see,
I was never there.
Yeah, it's as if it didn't happen. If you'd like to see the video and you missed it on the live stream, you can text the word bandit. Bandit to the WTMJ Talk and Text, and we'll send you the video. Bandit, B-A-N-D-I-T. We got to find the brisket bandit.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers offense can only muster one run on a fielder's choice. They fall to the Phillies again in Philadelphia, 2-1 the final. This time in extra innings, took 10. They had a shot in the top of the 10th, man on third.
Dominguez, 3-2. Swing ground ball to second, runner breaking for the plate. It's fielded by Stott, throw home, tag applied, out, done out. Realmuto held onto the baseball as Dunn slid into him.
Done out. Nick Castellanos would walk it off in the bottom half of the inning. Now, the Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball. And you can argue that just hanging with them for 2 days in a row now is a win. Pat Murphy
played them tough twice, but playing them tough, you don't get any points in the win column. So it's all about beating them.
Yeah, you got to beat them. A W is the most important thing. So no moral victories, really. Day baseball today's the crew look to avoid the sweep. 3 p.m. first pitch right here on WDTMJ Radio, pregame at 2:30.
And Milwaukee Admirals now down 3-0 in their Western Conference final series to Coachella Valley. Firebirds coming out quickly, quieting the crowd at UWM Panther Arena. Tuesday night, they win 5-3. So 7 p.m. puck drop at the arena tomorrow in a must-win situation for the Ads.
Did you see this story from Variety? Bucks superstar Giannis wants to do a heist movie. Giannis apparently is producing what's being described by Variety as an Ocean's 11-style heist comedy, which will be set in Greece. Plot details, cast members are being kept under wraps at this point, but production is slated to begin later this year.
Production, like this is happening.
It is happening.
One thing for a guy to just say, I think I'll make a movie. Like, this is happening.
Mm-hmm. So since we couldn't get our hands on the actual script, Pancake typed it into AI, into ChatGPT. What did you write here, Pancake? So here's what he typed in here. Write me a movie with an Ocean's 11 plot, but with Giannis as the protagonist assembling a crew of NBA players. Okay. And it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. The setup opens with Giannis, the reigning MVP, visiting the basketball museum in Athens. During his visit, he learns about a legendary artifact, the Golden Hoop, rumored to have magical properties that enhance a player's skills. Suddenly, the museum's robbed, and the Golden Hoop is stolen. So Giannis reaches out to his buddy, LeBron James, and they agree to join the mission together and assemble a team to find the Golden Hoop.
That's not unwatchable.
Right?
I might actually. I would at least decide. I'd like to know who else is in it. Like, I'm not out yet.
What do we have this? Do we have this keyworded? I can't recall. Oh, shoot. I didn't tell him. All right. So we do have it online. It's on the WDTMJ mobile app. But we will keyword this if you want to read the whole script.
Let's do heist. I'll do heist.
We'll do heist, which is hard to spell, but you'll figure
what
it out.
What do we do for the other one? Oh, bandit.
Bandit and
bandit
heist.
Bandit if you want to see the guy stealing from the smoker.
Heist, H-E-I-S-T. Text that. We'll send you the AI version of what the Giannis movie could be. 855-616-1620.
6:54 on Wisconsin's Morning News, bringing Dr. Ken Harris from 101.7 The Truth, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant. I wanted to talk to you about MPS, Dr. Ken, but first, what do you make of this assertion from the family of Sade Robinson? This is the 19-year-old woman who was murdered and dismembered, that one of her fingers was discovered on the property of Maxwell Anderson, who is charged with the killing. And you have Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office saying that didn't happen.
There's really nothing you can say. I mean, there's absolutely no reason why the Sheriff's Office would hide body parts. But yet we're finding, you know, signs of body parts all over southeastern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. But we would hide the fact that it's in a house on Oklahoma. It doesn't make any sense. Sounds like it's just a rumor that got out of hand, and now they're hearing things. And
does that sort of stuff find its way into civil lawsuits? Yeah, so that's what you're reading into that?
Absolutely. I would think the family wants to control the name, image, and likeness of Sade Robinson. So, you know, sometimes movie, documentary makers and all that will take court records and use that to build their story and fictionalize it to a degree, you know, based on the true story, right?
Sure, right.
And so now they're heading it off at the pass, right? We're saying, hey, anything that has to do with this, it's ours. And if you want to use the name, then you need to.
Because this case is so salacious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on to MPS. School board is planning a news conference this afternoon. Superintendent, of course, abruptly resigned earlier this week over the financial crisis that really has only come into focus or greater focus last couple of weeks. I said before to Eric, here's the question that I don't have answered.
Right.
MPS was apparently more than half a year delinquent on submitting financial records to the state. How come? Is there something in those records? Like, is this just rank incompetence that you just didn't get the basics of your job done? Or was there something in those financial records that you didn't want the state to see and you still don't want the state to see?
We don't know. And that's why we need a competent, I hate to say it, not a superintendent from Waukesha who's in that clique of superintendents. But we need the state, not State Department. We need the Department of Justice for both the state and the federal government to come in. You've got a woman getting paid $184,000 a year who's your chief financial officer who's not a CPA. So that by itself is a problem. Who's running your HR? Why do you have so many administrators? All those things. But the problem really isn't him if you think about it. The board has a fiduciary responsibility to take care of all that stuff, and they literally dropped the ball. I think everybody on that board, even, we got a couple of good ones, get rid of all of them.
You are hearing exactly that. Yeah.
Because
we're not going after him or him.
Because they didn't speak up when there was a problem. Isn't it your job? You're elected. You have a fiduciary responsibility.
And paid. Many boards are volunteers. Yes. These guys are paid
you
almost 20 grand a year.
You can literally go to jail for misconduct, for not doing your job, and you let it slide.
Are you surprised that it took this long that DPI didn't call them sooner?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, they have support. MPS has support from the governor's office to, you know, help them get through this. That someone didn't say, hey, you know, guys.
But they did.
Over and over again.
If you read the writing, that's the oldest report. That's not the only report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're talking over time, people, hey, Vince, can you get that in there?
Let us help you. Hi. We're on your side.
Hey, you work with Vince, Eric. Can you? Hey, you're married.
He's got to get his stuff.
You're married to Vince, right? Yeah. Can you get word to Vince? Like they did all that, and you know the governor's in cahoots with them all, and all that DPI. They all support each other, and now you're jacking the entire state. So it's like, okay, now we got to make it public. So then you go to the board, and the board pretends like they didn't know. When now they're allegedly emails that say, oh, we notified the board like months ago that this stuff was going on, and they didn't say anything until it hit public.
Milwaukee Public School Board planning that news conference this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Thanks, Dr. Ken.
You're welcome.